Welcome to Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. I'm your host, Damali Peterman. On this podcast, we invite you to share a conflict that you need help navigating, and I, along with a guest co-host, will share what we would do in that situation to help you reach your breakthrough. Welcome to the show. On today's episode, I am elated to have Allison Trank in the studio. Allison, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, this is going to be a fun one, audience. And so Allison and I met randomly on the Upper West Side. One of our really, really good friends was hosting an event in a clothing store. Mm-hmm. And it was love at first sight.
Yes.
Right, Allie?
Well, it feels that way for me.
It felt that way for me too. And I was just saying, I haven't been able to quit you. Not that I want to, but it's just been a wonderful relationship. And Allison has added so much joy to all of our lives. And mm-hmm. so having you here and sharing you with our listeners is just a treat for me, and I'm just so proud that I'm like kind of serving as this intermediary.
Oh, you can't see, but I'm blushing.
I love it. And so Allison is a mental health therapist, and she's a licensed clinical social worker. Allison, please tell us more about you.
Well, where do you start with that, right? I guess leading from sort of what I do as a profession, I work as a mental health counselor. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, like you said, that works out in New York here and practices. I'm trained in psychotherapy, but I also do cognitive behavior therapy and something called dialectical behavior therapy. So what we do is behavior modification when it's needed, when people want sort of changes in their life of how they're, you know, thinking or how they're feeling. Subsequently, that sort of triggers behavior. And we look at that and we support people in making gradual steps and changes in their lives.
That sounds excellent. I'm happy you're in this field. And I know you're a wonderful listener. Oh. And so I can just see how you've been able to help so many people. And so where are you from?
Where am I from? Well, I grew up in New Jersey. I was born in California, but I grew up in New Jersey, and I've lived in New York for a while now with my husband. We have two dogs, live on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. We're puppy training right now. One of the dogs is quite little, so we're in it.
You're in it, but you're in it to win it, right?
Yeah. When potty training, one step at a time.
Oh, my goodness. We had a dog, as you know, for 8 weeks, and that was the best and I don't want to say worse,
it but had its time.
It was the best and most challenging 8 weeks of my life.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
I really would have kept that dog if she hadn't bitten everyone in my family.
Yeah, I know that. She
it's
made it known.
Hard, like, keep the kids, keep the dog. But she was so cute. And I love your dogs. They're so fun.
Thank
and
you.
Loving.
Thank you.
So I always tell my boys, like, look, we can go to Auntie Allie's and we can like hang out with her dogs.
Exactly.
I don't think they're going to buy that for a long time. I think they want us to have another dog.
Yikes. Yeah. All right. Well, good luck with that.
I know. Well, at least I have someone I could talk to.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And dogs it too. And so for those of you tuning in for the first time, you can simply call in our hotline and leave a message asking a question that you're contemplating. And it doesn't have to be a conflict. It could be anything that's going on for you and you're just not sure how to navigate it. Or it can be an actual conflict that you really want to hear from someone who's not invested in the outcome. With a co-host on the air for the first time, we will play the message and give you some feedback as to what we would do in that situation. So, Allie, what do you think? How about we play the first message?
I'm excited.
Me
Let's
too.
Do this.
Oh, yeah.
You have one message.
How are external and internal factors related in diagnosis and treatment? For example, homelessness or an unsafe living condition can cause depression or anxiety. Discrimination can cause depression, chronic stress, and certainly low self-esteem. How does the therapist work with external and internal? How do they work with both? And what are some of the problem-solving techniques you commonly use?
Wow.
Yeah.
Big question. That like captures my whole like second graduate career.
That's awesome.
So yeah, social work, right? I mean, social work is really kind of looking at the human being in the environment. And so when sort of, you know, making an assessment with a person, when you sit down with them right in the beginning, you're really trying to assess like what's happening for that individual. So we look at symptoms. So when we talk about like diagnosis in the mental health world, it's like a cluster of symptoms in that moment. But symptoms aren't just like in and of themselves, you know, that a person is in an environment. So, you know, if you think like, take for example, like the medical example, when like a person goes to a doctor and they say they have fatigue, there could be something that is, you know, happening internally for them. But there's also like, you know, if you were to find out what their situation is and, you know, there may be a new mom or puppy training like we talked about, right? Like they could be exhausted and like that's that. And you're sort of where you target is based on kind of your assessment. So in thinking about sort of what the listener had asked or the caller had called in about, you know, in thinking about it, when sort of making an assessment, you really do have to value those bigger issues, not only just the like tangible environment, because I think she brought up homelessness, but racism, right? Like that, like a person like growing up in sort of a hostile environment, an oppressive environment, you know, chronic stress, trauma, all that sort of informs who they are in the world and would really help sort of go towards treatment. So part two of that question, because it's a big question, yeah, right, is kind of how do you problem solve with it? And I think problem solving is done collaboratively with the person. A lot of times I'll ask people, you know, with their symptoms, like, you know, how does the symptom serve you right now? Are you kind of like, and what's causing problems? What isn't? And where do we kind of target this? Because if we're going to look at, you know, targeting anxiety or depression, you know, we have to be able to see what their particular symptoms are and be able to kind of work on whether we're, now that we're doing like CBT or DBT, which is contact, like, you know, targeting sort of the thoughts and the emotions, or do we, you know, connect a person with a psychiatrist, right? Mm-hmm. And being able to have a little bit of medication management to help them sort of focus and be able to kind of target the symptoms, you know, in a more like holistic way.
I really appreciate that you tapped into how both external and internal factors can really affect diagnosis and treatment and how you have to take a holistic view of the person. And so what's contributing to the behaviors that they're exhibiting and perhaps what's underlying that. And how I see that, not as a therapist, but as a mediator, is that the same thing sort of applies, the same perspective applies when you're working with someone trying to help them resolve a conflict, mm-hmm, because you're thinking about like what's going on with them, what's going on for them. And this is where there are parallels between therapy and mediation.
A lot.
A ton, right? Sometimes I have to take a step back and say, you know, I'm feeling like a therapist right now. Mm-hmm. I think the distinction is that depending on the type of mediation that you're doing, if it's facilitative, you aren't really trying to provide answers for them, or not that you're providing answers, but you're not trying to lead them to any particular outcome per se.
Yeah.
You're more trying to help them find an outcome or reach an outcome, or, and even if that's not an outcome, it's just an understanding that's best for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that when you said that trying to think about different ways to problem solve that you commonly use is really based on the person.
Yeah.
That you typically take a collaborative and holistic approach. And is that something that is pretty common amongst therapists and social workers?
You know, that's a good question. I think there's such a variance of training. I'd like to believe so, but I don't know. I mean, in the social work profession, that's sort of the framework that's used. I'd like to think that people, you know, we're at a point in time where a lot of like the psychology, mental health, that they're all sort of converging into sort of the same areas and the same, yeah, resources and kind of getting the same data of like what's helpful. So I'd like to think so, but I, you know, like anything, right? People practice in different ways.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so I think this is really helpful. One caller, I think you said your name is Phyllis, was really great question, a big question, as Alice,
yeah,
mentioned, a really big question, but really useful because I think that sometimes we may focus on one factor, perhaps the external, what the person is exhibiting, and not really thinking about internally what's going on for them. And because there are so many different ways that you can sort of approach a situation, whether it be a cognitive question or what have you, I think it's really good to think about various examples that you provided, and think about how we can help people who are facing issues with low self-esteem or discrimination or racism or homelessness, as you mentioned. You also mentioned ways to problem solve techniques. And Ali, in a nutshell, what are some couple of tips that we can provide on ways to some problem solving techniques that you see? And you mentioned a few before. Making sure there's a collaborative approach, making sure you take a holistic view. But I don't know, I'm asking because I'm wondering if there are a couple of techniques that can be used when considering both external and internal factors for a person who's seeking some assistance?
Yeah, I mean, so it's interesting coming from the therapist perspective. You know, there's different sort of intervention points. But like in thinking about sort of the listener's perspective too, and just kind of like what's sort of helpful overall, I kind of want to pivot a little bit in the sense of saying like when sort of focusing on diagnoses, because that was sort of like the beginning of the question. That like in like mental health is fluid, and it's like, and it's really helpful to be compassionate when it comes to your own sort of symptoms and other people's, and to not sort of label. And I think that like kind of circling back, I mean, that's why this is such a complicated issue, right? But in problem solving, I think it's important not to go the route of labeling and just really sort of keep it more objective and curious about the person. Cause then that opens it up in the sense of being able to say, who is that person? How are these symptoms for them? You know, I'll tell people, I'll be like, what is anxiety to you? Or what is depression to you? Let's dig into it. So I understand the nuances of what those symptoms are for that particular person. So I think it's helpful for people to do that with themselves, with others, and to not like, you are not your diagnosis. Like, you know, you are feeling a cluster of symptoms at this point in time, and that's how we can kind of target treatment. Yeah. But I think it's really important to not stigmatize people on sort of these cluster of symptoms, because those can change. So, and also like, let's look at what your listener had said too, of like homelessness or racism. Like those are things that are big issues. So the person, you know, is the person really clinically depressed, or are they living in an environment that is really crummy, you know? And so how do we sort of navigate those two pieces? Because problem solving with the issue of homelessness is very different than, you know, the internal problem solving with sort of what you're feeling at the time or what your thoughts are.
Right. And so I love that, Allison. So basically separate the person from their diagnosis. We have a similar saying in conflict resolution, separate the person from the problem.
Yeah.
Right. And so I love that. And so caller, again, it's a pretty big question.
Yeah. Lots thank of you. Great insight. But thank you for asking
it's
it, right?
It's a great question. I mean, I loved hearing you address it, Allison. I mean, kudos to you. Just a brilliant, brilliant person and wonderful therapist. And I always think everyone needs a therapist, regardless of what's going on.
Yes.
Someone to talk to, you know, that, you know, someone outside of your circle of friends and family to talk to is always great. And someone who's trained, right? Because sometimes you can pick the wrong person to talk to.
Absolutely.
And they'll have you like walking backwards, you know, doing the moonwalk on the sidewalk, as opposed to like talking to someone who's trained, a licensed clinical social worker or a therapist who can really help you.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a special relationship. I always encourage people. It's like, it's the most unique relationship because it's really all about you in a way that's under the guise of getting you help, you know, and helping support you through this complicated thing called life, right?
I love it. Thank you so much. Hopefully that was helpful. Phyllis, please let us know how things are going. We love having feedback from our callers. We love being able to help other people who are listening in to the show. And so just let us know how things are going. You sound like a really great person. It's a great question. And let's go to the next question.
You have one message. Good morning. My name is Genesis and I live in Hawaii. And I was wondering if you could tell me how to deal with relationships when it comes to having different political viewpoints. And this goes for romantic relationships, platonic or what have you, in this current political climate. I know it can be very difficult trying to maintain those relationships. And I was hoping you could tell me if I need to continue on such relationships or cut them off. Thank you.
Yikes, Damali, these are big questions,
right? I know. But you know what's great about these questions, Allison, is that usually this is what we do. We pair up content with our co-hosts. And when I saw this question, I literally jumped up and down because this happened to us, right?
Yep.
And so in 2016, after the elections, and this question was not planned. It's insane. Like I looked at it and I was like, oh my God. In 2016, after the elections, Allison and I were called in to talk to people who were on different sides of the political debate. So we had some conservatives on one side and some liberals on the other side. And we were kind of co-facilitators. So me with my mediation background, Allison with her social work and therapy background were brought in. And it was really interesting because one of the first things that came to my mind that really addresses your question, Genesis, is if you're talking about relationships and how to maintain them as you're considering the fact that you have different political views, the first question I'll ask you is that why you became friends or involved in the first place? Because I think if if what you're doing has nothing to do with, you know, politics. So, example, Allison and I are friends. We're friends not because of our political viewpoints, but because we have other things in common. Then I would weigh those things and trying to figure out whether or not to maintain ties with the person once a different political position is presented. And so I wouldn't say just abandon your relationships just only because of that. What do you think, Ellie?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, I think anytime you terminate a relationship, like, that needs to be done with, like, consciousness, intention, thoughtfulness, right? And so first and foremost, like, I clearly can't tell you, Genesis, to end a relationship, right? Like, there's so many levels of, you know, why that relationship is important and why it's helpful and maybe why it isn't helpful too, you know? So, if it's just based on politics, even that, you know, kind of speaks to, like, you have to, like, are you getting something from this relationship that goes beyond politics, right? And is that something to navigate? The other thing I think, and this kind of goes to Damali's sort of strength of experience in mediation, it's perspective taking too, of really understanding, like, not having assumptions of why that person is in a sort of political stance. I think we have them and I think that there's meaning making that goes behind, especially nowadays too, on many deeper levels of, like, why we vote for certain people or kind of back up certain political candidates. But I think it's important to know where the person's coming from and the meaning making that you make towards your own choices and the meaning making that you make towards other people's choices. That can be helped to, like, a deeper relationship and more connection, even if you decide to stay in the relationship or not, you know?
I agree. And, you know, right after the elections, I remember having dinner with a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And it was on the day of the travel ban. And I remember saying, oh, what's the travel ban happened today? Wow, like, everything is changing. And she said to me, you know, I think we have different political views. And I was, like, eating lobster bisque and I was devouring it. You know, I haven't had lobster bisque since that moment. Like, I haven't had lobster bisque.
Now there's a food aversion to lobster. There's a food aversion.
And so I was like, tell me more. Because then I switched into kind of medium. Uh-huh. Tell me more. And she said, well, you know, the reason that I was cautious about telling you, I could have just sat here and just listened and nodded and, you know, changed the subject. But I wanted you to know because I've recently lost some friends because they didn't support who I voted for in the elections. And I was like, really, what happened? And she said, well, you know, these are friends that are really good friends of mine. I invited them to my daughter's wedding and they sat at my table. And once they realized who I voted for, they told me, we do not share the same values. I don't think we can be friends anymore. Hmm. And that really hurt her. Mm-hmm. And I could hear the hurt in her voice. And so I remember saying something more neutral, something like, diversity of thought is really important. And if everyone thought the same thing, then think about how boring the world would be if everyone had the same perspective. That being said, I also see how people want to be surrounded by folks who are like-minded in some way.
Sure.
Perhaps the connection was based on shared values or what they perceived to be shared values. And so once that was no longer there, perhaps they had to reevaluate what was keeping them as friends. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what I was thinking about when I was saying to Genesis before, why are you friends in the first place? Why do you have this relationship in the first place? Because if that's all that's keeping you together, then maybe you have to reevaluate it. I'll also say that I think communication is so key. And that's what Allison and I were brought in to do, facilitate a conversation with people who shared different views, because we wanted to help people see where others were coming from.
Yeah. And when we do, like, relationship counseling and therapy, it's sort of a perspective of, like, maintaining connection, right? Like, you go into, like, if you're – one would think if you're, like, investing in counseling, you're, like, you really are wanting the relationship to work. But it's, like, really about keeping, a safe, open space and connection. And people can't communicate if they feel like they're being shut down, which is, again, I'm sure the stuff that you do around mediation as well, like, keeping an open sort of line of communication, curiosity. So Genesis, I would just sort of recommend to, you know, piggyback on what Damali had said of, like, also, like, in approaching those, you know, relationships and those conversations, of being in a space of curiosity, openness, you know, and really kind of trying to understand the other person's perspective.
I love that. And how do you come from a perspective of openness and curiosity? Some tips that we can give you right now is I found that, and you probably see this too, Allison, is that when people are listening, they're not listening with in an unfiltered way. They're listening, waiting to like just present their side of things, or they're thinking about their next point or what they're going to interject, or they're asking questions and kind of challenging the person as they're presenting their side of things. And this has come up very frequently in the political conversation. Yeah. And so the first tip that I'll give is to just listen. This is how you show curiosity. Just listen without trying to think about your next point, without trying to challenge what the person is saying, without asking a plethora of questions. Just listen. And the first reason I'll tell you to listen is because sometimes a person may start at A and end at Q. And if you ask them questions before they get there, you may be focusing on something that's not really important to them, because some folks need to ramp up a little bit when they're talking about something. Two, you may find that as you're listening, some of the things that they're saying may overlap with how you feel. And so perhaps you're coming from a similar place. Perhaps you may have shared interests, but the way that you're communicating them and the way that you're assigning them to you, if you're talking about politics, political standpoint, just may be different. Mm-hmm. And so if you're both coming from the same place where you think one side represents this, for example, certain values, certain positions about certain things that you hold dear to you, maybe the person on the other side feels the same way, but they have a different outcome. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage you to what we call actively listen. Listen without trying to come up with solutions or challenges. And then two, the way that you show the person that you're listening isn't to kind of then jump in and then say all the points, but rather to slow down the conversation by sort of giving a quick summary mm-hmm. of what you heard. And what that does is, one, it helps you to process what you've heard, because as you're saying it aloud, you're thinking about it, and your brain is sort of like saying, oh, okay, well, I see that. I understand what they're saying. Two, it shows the person that you're talking to that you were listening to them. They know it, because you didn't just say, oh, I understand. I get it. You actually said, so what you're saying is, this is how you feel for this reason. And then you want to check in with them. Like, tell me, like, is that right? Or, you know, just kind of confirming that you understand where they're coming from. And so that's a really good way to practice it. And by the way, you don't have to wait for that political conversation. You can practice this at any time for any other human being that you talk to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would 100% agree. The type of relationship therapy that I do absolutely does those practices. Yeah, the only thing I could say to like kind of augment it even is, because I mean, I think that's really super helpful, is two things. Like, I think when things are emotionally charged, the active listening thing really does slow it down. And that's like the benefit of slowing it down, because it sort of slows down your emotions. Because if you have to actively listen, you're using your brain and in a way that is like, the purpose of me listening right now is to sort of give that information back to the person and make sure I got it correctly before I have my own responses to it. Like, that's kind of how it works. If you're in a really great spot, you may validate like saying that makes sense, but I don't know, like that sometimes that it's really hard to get to that place. But yeah, you know, being able to kind of like anytime I'll tell people, even when they're like in dynamics where they're in relationships that like a like charged kind of conversations, is to access that active listening piece. It's helpful for anybody, like, right? It slows things down. Especially also like if you're feeling like you're being attacked, what I'm hearing you say is you think I'm really crummy. The reasons you think I'm crummy are blah blah blah. This helps in marriages, it helps in relationships,
it helps with everyone.
Yeah, right? The reason you want me to do the dishes and think I'm, you know, not doing them is blah blah blah. And like it slows things down, and it takes it out of like, it takes it sort of like, given that person's perspective, that's their reality. It doesn't mean it's yours, doesn't mean you agree, it's just this is what I'm hearing you say.
It's so true. And I think too, it's something that the more you practice it, the better you'll become of it.
Yeah.
And the better you'll become at it. And what I found is that even when I'm having a conversation with people, and I might be going through the same processes, I have a lot of experience doing this, but then I'll say, but the real issue for me is not this, it's something else.
Right.
And so I'm able to do it for myself. And so I think it's something that you can definitely try out. And then the other part of communication, right, because there's listening and there's speaking, is try to find a way to do it that's authentic to you, but also coming from a place of openness, as Allison said. And so, you know, what I hear you say, or I feel this is really helpful introductions for doing that, because then hopefully what will happen is the person won't feel like they're being attacked when you speak, but you're trying to just communicate how you feel in that moment. And I think at the end of the day, sometimes when we're having conversations with other people with different opinions, we may feel the onus to convince them to change their behavior. And I think if you take away that stress of trying to convince them to think differently or to change their behavior, and then have a goal of just being able to effectively communicate how you feel, at the end of the day, if both parties walk away, at least with a better understanding of where each person is coming from, I think you've accomplished a lot.
Yeah. Sometimes if we can even set that intention out in the beginning of the conversation, like sit down and have the intention of just understanding where each is coming from, and we're not going to try to convince each other that we're right, of just sort of like, we just need to understand each other. And no shaming and blaming. I mean, that's the thing that I'm always sort of aware of when I'm doing couples work, is like, it's so easy to kind of blame or shame or make meaning, of things where it's not, you come from the I perspective. Like you said, I feel this. It's my experience. This, the story I tell myself is this.
Yes.
As opposed to kind of you. It just, it strips people of their defenses when you start sort of just owning it yourself and owning your perspective.
It's so true. And so for you, Genesis and Phyllis, thank you so much for calling in. We really love those questions. Great questions. You have us in here thinking. So we love those questions. For the audience, thank you for tuning in. And Allison, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You were incredible. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day. Do you have any barriers that we can help you break through? If so, you can leave a brief message at 646-363-6322 or on our interactive blog at www.breakthroughadr.com. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at the @BreakthroughAdr. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Although I am a lawyer, mediator, and an educator, and many of my co-hosts will represent various professions, we want to be clear that we are not providing legal advice, counseling, or suggestions. Our goal is to provide a roadmap for conflict resolution to generate future conflict resolvers. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day.